Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's all open up our binders, unclick our pages, if you like. Pull out your outlines. And while we're doing that, can we please read together the title of the whole line? It's on all caps under the message 4. Participating in the Lord's move on the on the campuses. Amen. One more time. Participating in the Lord's move on the campuses. Amen. Just considering this line, I just appreciate all the speaking we've had so far and just considering how this fits into the context of this training, which is on the Lord's coming. Everyone who'd like the Lord to come, say amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. And as we've seen so far, the Lord needs to do some necessary things, right? There's the prophecies. There's the Lord's statuses. And one of the things the Lord is doing has come out here and also at the training on Genesis is the Lord needs to prepare His bride, right? So everything the Lord is doing today is to prepare His bride. And who knows another title for the bride of Christ? The church. Hallelujah. So the Lord today is preparing the bride by building the church. So if someone is to ask you, what is the Lord's move? Well, the Lord's move is to build up the church, which will prepare His bride so He could come back. Do you want to participate in this?
Amen.
What better thing is there to do with your life than to participate in the Lord's move? Well, as we've seen, the Lord has sovereignly placed us on the college campuses. And as was mentioned yesterday, this is the Lord's commission to you. If you're a college student on a college campus, if you want to be in the Lord's move, well, you've been placed there. You could be in the Lord's move on the college campuses. So I think this line is very wonderful in context of the whole training. We can participate in what God is doing to bring Him back on our college campuses. And going through the messages that we've hit so far, real quick, the first one, I just appreciated we are being infused with our God's love, right? Our God has a heart for man. And what does He want to do? He wants to make His heart our heart. But that's not good enough that we would just have a heart for man, right? We also saw we need to have two or three others that we can pray with, that we can be built up with, right? That will pick us up, right? Two is better than one. And we also saw that not only do we need the twos and threes, but we need a solid nucleus of students on our campus. And actually, maybe that is just two or three. So you start out with two or three, but then it's four or five, six or seven. And these ones are pursuing together. But if you consider, the Lord doesn't just want one person who has His heart, right? Or two or three, or a nucleus. But actually, God's desire is for the church. And so in this message, we get to see that our purpose in our labor on the college campuses can be joined to God's purpose. So in the beginning, we need our heart to be one with God's heart, but we also need our purpose to be one with our God's purpose. So how about we read the message title together here? Building up the church and coordinating with the saints in the homes. Amen. What are we doing? We're building up the church. And we're coordinating the saints where? In the homes. I believe this is going to be a very sweet sharing, especially with all the testimonies. So Roman numeral 1, how about we all read this together? The purpose of our labor on the campus is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church. Hallelujah. We have a purpose in our labor. I'd like to read to you Haggai 1:8. Says, go up, hallelujah, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified, says Jehovah. So there is something that makes the Lord happy. And that's when we collect building materials for His house. And in Matthew 16, He told us what this house is. He says, I will build my church. So we're here not not just to stop with bringing people to the Lord, but we want to bring them into His house. I was impressed with the testimonies from the saints in Saddleback, that there were some that a year ago didn't know God's house, right? But they testified, now I realize the church is the body of Christ. It's an organic building. It's not a place on the corner of the street, right? So these ones, they've been brought from sinners to saved, to ones who have been brought into a nucleus and actually being brought into the building up of the church. Amen. So this progression is so sweet. The Lord wants to bring sinners all the way into the church. So how about brothers? We read A together. God's eternal purpose is to have the church. We have to preach and minister Christ to people with the building up of the church in view. Amen. How about sisters, you read that first phrase all together boldly. God's
eternal purpose is to have the
church. Amen. Brothers,
God's eternal purpose is to have the church.
Amen. Everybody, God's eternal purpose is to have the church. Amen. I hope we'd be impressed. God wants the church. Not just a club on campus, but He wants the church. Amen. So B says we should regularly attend and function in the meetings of the church. These include the Lord's table, the prayer meeting, and the prophesying meeting. It's already come out a few times related to the Lord's table, and I just appreciate the Lord training us that we would have His view for the Lord's table, right? But I appreciate here it says we should attend and function, right? We should endeavor to go to the meeting in a regular way. And what do we do if we're at the prayer meeting? Pray, right? So don't just show up. I appreciate Brother Mark's testimony. Don't sit on the bench. But get in the game, right? Even if it's just one short prayer, right? And in the prophesying meeting, exercise to have a portion to prophesy. And if you don't know, ask for help. There are many saints who would be willing, who would love to help you to have something to share on Lord's Day. So I'll just leave it at that, but this is so good. We want to build up the church. Actually, 1 Corinthians, does anyone know 1 Corinthians 14:4? It says, he who prophesies, what? Builds up the church. So we can be building up the church by our speaking Christ. This is not a small matter. And point C says, how about sisters, you read this together. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. So you're not alone on your college campus, but you have the whole church behind you and absolutely one with you. And now we kind of jump into the meat of the message, Roman numeral 2. And I ask that we can all read this together. But when you get to the word homes, really emphasize this word. So and maybe we can do it this way. The freshmen can read the first line. The sophomores could finish that sentence. The juniors could read that next part up to the semicolon. And then the seniors can finish it off, all right? And really emphasize the word homes. We need to connect the new ones to the homes of the saints to enter the church life. The homes of the saints are their stepping stone into the church life. We need many homes of the saints for the sake of the coordination of the gospel work. Every college student needs a home to which he can bring his friend. Amen. How about that last one part? Everybody. Every college student needs a home to which he can bring his friends. Hallelujah. What do we need? A home. What does the Lord need? A home. What do the new ones need? A home. So if you forget everything else, remember, you need a home. And just briefly, I'd like to point out, this doesn't even mention a home meeting. Not that you can't have a home meeting, but it just mentions a home. So don't have any qualifications on a home. It has to be a real nice home. If the living room's not big enough for 15 or 20 people. No, the Lord just says, Well, the outline says, but even in the Bible, the Lord says, actually write this down, Romans 16:5. It says, greet the church which is in their house. Isn't that awesome? The Lord wants to build the church. We want to build the church. And then Paul says, at the end of Romans, where he's talking about sinners being brought all the way to be part of the church, then he tells his saints, greet these ones. The church is in their house. Actually, there's at least three or four other verses in the New Testament. Greet the church which is in their house. So the church takes place mainly in the house, right? So whatever that looks like, be it a home meeting, be it a dinner time, whatever the time, we need the homes. All right. And let's all read with a strong spirit A together. Pray, fellowship, and see if there are any homes near the campus in your locality that are available. It is worthwhile to have a home that is very close to the campus. Amen. And on this point, we'd like to hear from Lisa.
Amen. Hi, my name is Lisa. I go to college at Harvard College in Massachusetts. I'd like to share my testimony. Last year, in my first semester, I was on campus. I was kind of there alone. And there was another couple that was living in a house nearby. But I didn't really know how to get connected with them. And I kind of mentioned this to the Lord. I knew that I should, but I didn't know how. And the next semester, the Lord worked it out that I was coming to school about 1 week before the dorms opened. So I needed to be staying with the family. So I asked them if I could stay in their house, and they were very, very open to that. And so I started coming into their home. And the first day that I was there, I spoke something to them because I had this burden. You know, I'm very burdened for my campus. And I told them, I said, you know, we just had this speaking on praying. And I said, I'm really burdened that we would pray together for the campus. And so immediately they echoed my burden. And I realized that this was something that was in them as well. So starting from that day, we began to pray in a regular way for the campus. We would make sure, we didn't set a time, but we just made sure that every day before we went to bed, we would be praying for the campus. And through that, even though we didn't really have any real human connection before that, it was so sweet what happened, because as we started to pray together, we touched each one another's spirit, and we really became built up in a very deep way. We began to love one another in a profound way. I can't really explain, but we just knew that we were touching the vital groups, because we were joined to one another in prayer and in our spirits. And so, so starting with that solid foundation, I began to realize that these saints, you know, they just yearn and they have this open heart and an open home. The room that I was staying in, they began to refer to it as my room. And I would always, you know, often go to their house. I would stay there sometimes weekends or half the week. And one day I was so cherished, the sister who owns the house, she was like, oh, Lisa, we brought you a toothbrush. And then she also got me like a scrubby. And not only a scrubby, but also a hook in the bathroom for me to hang my scrubby. So I was just realizing, even when I would go places, their last name is McArdle. Even when I'd go places, other people would started to call me Lisa McArdle. So I just really realized that I was, you know, this family really took me into their home and into their hearts, and we were being built up together. So one day after I finished my exam, we continued to pray, not maybe not every day, but we still continued to try to pray as much as possible throughout the semester. So one day I finished an exam and I was going to their house to pray. It was about 9 o'clock at night, I think. And another guy in my section who I didn't really know at all, except for maybe his name, saw me and he started speaking to me, asked me where I was going. So I said, I'm going to someone's house to pray. So he basically invited himself to come with me. He walked with me all the way to the end of the road. And then I was like, well, do you want to come with me? And he was like, yeah. So we went to their house and I just surprised them with this guy with me, knocked on the door, and we all came in. And then we all prayed together for the campus. And ever since that time, we've just had a very regular, even with him, he started to come regularly to have breakfast with us and to pray together with us. So it really just touched something so special in being able to be built together with the family. And I know that I can bring anybody there. I can surprise them with anyone. And I can always just pray with them at any time of the day. So, amen.
Wow, so sweet. I want to go to that home. So just some things just to point out and to highlight. This time is very practical, and I hope through the testimonies you'll all see a way, you'll all find a home, and bring some other people into your family. Bring some other people into God's house. So Lisa, she had a home away from home. Even just talking to her and listening to her testimony in a little more detail, when she would come, they'd say, "Welcome home." Anyways, I hope you all can find some family, some couple, some home where you come through that door and they'll say, "Welcome home." It's just so sweet. So let's continue on in the outline here. B, using our homes for the gospel has many advantages. Wasn't that a great advantage? Some guy just follows you home to go pray. How about that? Maybe the guy following you home doesn't sound so good, but what if, you know, your classmate follows you home to go pray? That's a great advantage to a home, isn't it? Okay, how about brothers read one? Homes are the place where God's activity is carried out. Did you all see that? God's activity was being carried out in that home, right? Okay, two, sisters. Amen. The sweetest and most restful place is a home. Who wants to go to that house, right? So sweet. Maybe we'll get a toothbrush too, right? Three altogether. There are many lonely and homesick college freshmen, and we must take this opportunity to fill up the gap in their hearts with Christ by opening our homes. So as we get connected, it's so sweet, so restful to us that we can bring others into the same sweetness and the same rest. And not only that, there are many college students, and particularly freshmen, that we don't know what their outward situation is really like. But once they touch the sweetness and the rest of the home, oh boy, they just love it and they like to come. So we have another testimony. Pablo?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah for the homes, especially the homes close to our college campuses. So I just want to share a short testimony that happened this year regarding coordinating with a home to take care of a young freshman brother. So at the beginning of last fall semester, during the freshman orientation week, we were tabling outside, and we met a young brother, a young guy, international student from Brazil, who had just gone here to America for the first time, I believe. And he was looking, he was hungry for something, and he was looking for a Christian club. And well, we met him, and when I found out he was Brazilian, me and another brother, a dear couple who live right across the street from my campus, we got to talking to him, and well, we told him, "Oh, hey, this guy's wife is Brazilian, so she knows how to cook Brazilian food." He was like, "Oh, whoa, very nice, very nice." So amen, praise the Lord. So then, that semester, he came to the welcome dinner the week after, and brought a bunch of friends. And throughout that semester, which was a fall semester, he would come here and there, some Bible studies, some home meetings, a little bit, but he wasn't very consistent. So me and this dear couple who live right across the street from campus, I know them very well. You need to get to know the saints in around your campuses, all the homes. Anyways, I'll just make a side note here. There's a couple in my church who have a home close to my campus who I didn't know for like two years in college. And then I found out, oh, they live really close by. Anyways, get to know the saints around your campus. Amen. So anyway, so after in the spring semester, we were kind of concerned for this one. His name is Yuri. He's this Brazilian brother. And me and this brother, this couple, how do we go about this brother? What do we do? Lord, lead us. How to take care of him? So we prayed a little bit, and then we realized, well, let's invite him to the home. Let's have a dinner on sometime during the week. He's a really busy guy. So we talked to him, coordinated a little bit, prayed first, and coordinated. And he said, "Well, I'm free on Thursday nights." So we started doing a dinner on Thursday nights. And we would just come. It's just a sweet time. He would just come, eat some delicious Brazilian food, and just sit around the table and just be Jesus the human with him. We weren't, at the beginning, we weren't really, you know, feeding him Christ or reading the word. We were just talking, laughing a little bit. And then as the weeks went on, we realized, okay, we gotta feed him Christ a little bit. We can't just be laughing out. Okay. So then we prayed a little bit more. I prayed a little more with this couple, with this brother and his wife. And then we realized, okay, maybe now we need to start maybe, you know, a little bit a hymn before we sing, or some verses as we're eating. Cause he has class right after our dinner. So a couple times we printed out some verses for him to take to his class, or a little hymn. One time he had a test and he left, and we called him, left a voicemail, and sang to him. So anyways, and you would just see he would enjoy this time so much. Like he, for example, at the beginning he had his phone, and he's a really busy guy. He texts us all the time, sends emails or whatever. And as the weeks went on and we enjoyed the time at the home, he would put his phone away and just listen and just enjoy the time. Just because the home is such a sweet place. The Lord loves the homes. So get to know the homes in around your campuses. And this is such a good way to take care of the new ones. Praise the Lord.
Well, that's so good. And it kind of blows some concepts out of the water that right when you bring someone to a home, you need to start forcing Christ into their mouth, right? You just, you know, hi, Herman, you know, I'm your classmate. Come to this home. Jesus! You know? And a lot of us are afraid of that, right? You're like, I don't think I can, you know, get them like that. But it's so wonderful that in this example here, in this experience, they just had dinner for a few weeks. It may take a little bit of time. You know, the Lord was first a friend to the sinners before he was their Savior. And so a lot of times we're just a friend. The homes, it's their home. It becomes their home, and they're so open, their hearts are so open, that eventually the phone goes away and they're listening, they're open. Wonderful, wonderful. Let's go to D, actually, let's read that together. Saints of all ages in each locality can participate and coordinate together for the gospel work on the college campuses. Saints of all ages. You know, sometimes I thought some of the families that have some of the, you know, the little toddlers running around screaming and everything, I thought, oh man, they're just distracting everybody from Christ. It's just, oh. But then you know what? Actually, that warms up, the little ones warm up the hearts. They warm up the hearts. Saints of all ages, maybe they're not in coordination with the rest, but there's a wonderful, sweet atmosphere that just warms up the hearts. Let's read one. If the saints in every locality are well coordinated, the new ones will be inspired with what they see. They will see the real social life, communal life, and family life. They will see the real social life, communal life, and family life. So at this point, we do have two more testimonies, Melody and Tanya.
When I came to the church life, it was about a year and 3 months ago during spring semester. It was the last 2 months of that semester. So the things that I was doing during that time was just like the school activities, Bible study, meeting with the serving ones on campus, and that was it. But the one who was taking care of me was a sister who she was serving, but she had to go to an internship in Washington, so I was in nobody's care at that time. But praise the Lord that Melody invited me to her home meeting, and I said yes, and in the home meeting, I met a couple of saints, and they were very welcoming, and they cared so much about me that they invited me to their homes, and I was willing to go, and I went to their homes, and they really, really took care of me. The environment in the homes was very warming. The atmosphere was amazing, incredible. Literally, I'm always there now. I do my homework. I study. I go take naps. I eat more meals in their homes than I do at my own house. That experience for me was very precious because I'm the only one in my family who is saved. So to pursue the Lord by myself in my own house is really difficult, but the saints in the homes have provided that care for me. Amen. Amen. Yeah, if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't be in the church life.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Melody, and I'm from Anaheim. I go to Cypress College. And my testimony with the homes, or my experience with the homes, is I really enjoyed it. My experience in the homes, okay, I just said that. So when I came into the church life, by the Lord's mercy, I moved into Saints Home at the same time. And you really see a pattern of how saints live, you know? Like the family that I stayed with, they always called on the Lord. The father always just burst out singing. And their living is so transparent, you know? They live just as they are in the homes and outside. And it was, what a pattern for me. And they always opened their home. They always had saints over. They invited people, home meeting every week at their home. And even after I came home from high school one time, they asked me if I had any friends to invite, to get to know them, you know, to preach the gospel to them. And so, you know, it was very, what a pattern I saw in the saints. And I moved out, but eventually. But then last week I went to their home. I stayed for a week for the semi-annual training. And they're moving, so they had a lot of hospitality before they move, you know. And it was the maximum amount that they had last time. And in the homes, you really see, like, in the meetings, you see the students stay in their own group, and the adults are over there, and the older saints are over there. But in the home, especially last week, we had ranging age from toddler to grandparents' age. And you really see, and you feel so cherished. They can cherish you in a way that we can't, you know, because they have such rich experiences of Christ. And that the age doesn't matter, you know, because in the building, age doesn't matter. And my personal experience, one of the really sweet cherishing I received from the saints concerning the homes. After I moved out, I lived with my parents, and then there were some times where the home wasn't very pleasant, and I couldn't stay at home because it was unpleasant. But then I told the saints about this, and then they said things like, "If anything happens, you can call us at 1 a.m. It'll be fine, and we'll pick you up. We'll take you to our home and you can sleep over." And then they even gave me keys to their home, which I actually have two family keys, home keys. They opened their home, and then it's, what a cherishing, you know. So anyway, I encourage you guys to get connected to the homes. It's another degree of love that you can experience.
Amen. So good. Just to be in the homes. Amen. I like that. The saints of all ages can participate and coordinate together. Even just by way of testimony, I happen to have a home next to campus after having a home at least a half an hour away from campus for a while. But anyways, the Lord worked it out. We were able to have a home next to campus. but we have a baby, so we can't do a lot in that sense. My wife especially, she can't do home meetings. She can't do prayer meetings. She can't do much in that sense. But somehow some of the girls found their way to our dinner table. Once, we invited them once. And then they came every week. And this was my wife's salvation, actually. You just realized if she was not feeling that good and it was Friday night and she had to go to the home meeting, no. But if she wasn't feeling good and I told her to tell the girls to not come by, I got the no. So, so our experience has just been that we are there and we have a home, and these people come into your home and they make your home their home. Actually, having the toddler is okay. You can leave them at the dinner table. They will be fine, right? If it's a meeting, it's hard to leave them. But, and these ones, you know, start saying things to us like, whoa, I never knew what a marriage was like. And then at least we have you guys. We haven't been married 3 years yet. But you just realize we just don't know the ones we're touching, right? What experience they've had, what family situation they've had. But there's something that they see in the homes, right? Like Melody shared, there's a degree of love that you can't touch without being in the homes. And sometimes that entrance is first through a home meeting and then into all the homes, like Tanya shared. Or then as Pablo, I don't know if you mentioned it, but that brother who was inconsistent in the home meetings. Then he got into the homes and started showing up to the home meetings. So anyways, can't do the math, but the homes are where it is, right? Maybe just to reemphasize this, let's all read Roman numeral 2 again together. Just again, the homes. We need to connect the new ones to the home of the saints to enter the church life. The homes of the saints are their stepping stone into the church life. We need many homes of the saints for the sake of the coordination of the gospel work. Every college student needs a home to which he can bring his friends. Hallelujah. So if you don't have a home, like Lisa, pray for a home, right? Or meet the saints that are in the homes by the campus. You don't have to wait 2 years, right? Pablo's a slow learner. He tells you this so you don't have to wait. Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen. All right. So going back down on the outline, D1, if the saints in every locality are well coordinated, the new ones will be inspired with what they see. They will see the real social life, the real communal life, and the real family life. Amen. Amen. Our service and coordination will touch, soften, and warm up their hearts to receive the living, piercing word. And like Pablo and our testimony and others, it's through this touches in the home that eventually there's the open door to speak something of the, what does that say, the living, piercing word. It's not necessarily day one, but through being in the homes is just the way. And then number 3, let's all read 3 together. The saints' living rooms should be filled with the enjoyment of Christ, especially through singing and psalming. Such an atmosphere of enjoyment and mutuality requires a great deal of coordination. Hallelujah. And number 4, once a freshman is brought into our living room, most of the work has already been done. Amen. So fill your living room with Christ and then bring people to your living room. And most of the work is done. And on that, we have 2 brothers who'd like to share their testimony of enjoying a lot of Christ in a living room. Amen, right? And actually, these brothers just finished. No, come up. But they just finished their freshman year. So they were freshmen brought into a living room, and now they're here. So you see, once you get into the living room, most of the work is already done. Yeah. Amen.
My name is Angel Giron. Like you said, I just finished my first year at UCLA. And I'd like to start my sharing with Psalms 133. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. Verse 3 goes on to say, for there Jehovah commanded the blessing, life forever. And this was really my experience in joining a small group this past year. This past school year, I was at the Walkers, Ken and Kathy Walker. And one of the things that Ken told me straight off the bat, he said that, you know, they had a vital group. And that there were three main components of a vital group: the divine life, the divine love of God, and also for the group's goal was to bear fruit. And this was really my experience in coming into their group, you know. And one of the things that really helped usher me into their small group were Wednesday night core dinner groups. We just had dinner on Wednesdays. Some students came over, some of the older ones, working ones, and we just fellowship, sit around the table, have dinner, get to know one another in a very human way, ask each other, you know, your favorite movie, what's your favorite thing to do, you know, just really get to know each other, become friends with one another. And also, this was a time for us to share our enjoyment throughout the week, to serve our Christ to one another, to fill the living room with Christ. And this was really something that was awesome, you know. I'm sure that, you know, on a Wednesday night we could be out studying, doing a whole bunch of other things, but this was really a time set apart for the body, for the home, in order to bear fruit for the Lord. Something that really became real to me was John 15, you know, the matter of bearing fruit, abiding in the Lord's love. And this became very real to me because this past school year, in our small group, Friday Night Homies, we averaged about 13 new ones. And this is a lot more than we can handle. The Lord richly blessed our small group. And also something I really enjoyed about being with the Walkers was that we're just like a family. I'm sure some of you guys know, but some of the students, you know, we call Kathy Walker Mama Walker. Because, you know, we just see her as her mom. She really takes care of us. I remember one time when I was sick, she offered a whole bunch of medicine, tea, home remedies. And, you know, like, okay. You know, it helped out. And something else that I truly appreciated from this small group was that it wasn't only about me entering into their home, but also them entering into my home and my family situation. You know, praying for something that I'm burdened for, something that I've been, you know, my brother recently got saved about a year ago, and he got baptized because we prayed about it at this Wednesday core group dinner. And, you know, this was something that was really on my heart, that my brother be baptized, and, you know, opened it up to them, and the Lord blessed that. Amen. And also for my mom to enter the church life. And as of now, she's been meeting with the saints in Hall 5, UCLA, more often. You know, she's really seeing the body in a very subjective way, not something that she reads about, but something that she experiences herself. You know, I just really enjoy this. Like, I think Point D said that once a freshman enters into the living room, most of the work is already done. And this has been my experience. Just inviting some students, so it gets covered in prayer. The first thing is covered in prayer. And then as soon as they walk in through the door, all they see is Christ, the divine life of God, the divine love of God. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? You know, it's like the work is already done. They really long for that. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Herman Ramos. I am I just finished my first year at UCLA. I'm also in the same small group meeting as Angel. And a little bit of my testimony is that I actually grew up in a Pentecostal church. And I spent 17 years throughout various Pentecostal churches. But I wasn't actually saved. I don't remember meeting Christ in any of those. And when I was actually saved in the summer before my freshman year, you know, I had a lot of concepts, and I had a lot of ideas. I was ready to be a religious person. I was ready to start doing a lot of things for God. And I was ready to just find a really nice church where I could meet and be a religious person, right? But thank God, Christ has better plans. Christ has a lot of life for us. And he actually didn't bring me to a big church. And he didn't bring me to a temple. He brought me to a home, to a small home, but sweet, sweet home. And, you know, at first, I was impressed because I couldn't think God would do something like that, like bring me to a home. But I started noticing that God didn't want me to be a religious person. God actually wanted me to experience life and love. And so I really began to experience life and love in this home. And out of just experiencing this, it is how growth came. Growth in Christ. It was just so sweet to go every time and always be, you know, they would always be open and always waiting for you, just willing to share everything they had. And I appreciated that, that as soon as I started just growing in life, I had a couple of burdens. And one of my burdens was actually that I was enjoying life, but my family wasn't enjoying life yet. And I started sharing this burden with my brothers and sisters in the home. And we started praying. In the ways, Wednesday coordinated meeting, we started praying. And we would just pray, Lord, bring this family into the enjoyment of Christ. And thank God, the last week of the school year, somehow it worked out that my two sisters came to a home meeting. And it was so awesome to see them coming to a home meeting. It was just like, as soon as they came in, everyone got up. They forgot their food and they just went to hug them. They even forgot about me. They just went straight to my sisters. But it's okay because that's what I wanted them to see. That it's just a place full of love in Christ. And it's not about what you do. It's about just experiencing Christ. And so it was awesome that they could see that as a result of the prayers and of the meeting. Thank God both of my sisters have been enjoying the Summer Truth Pursuit at their homes. And it's all a result of laying out the burdens to the home and just letting the Lord work out things, not looking for our own way, but looking for the Lord's way. Amen. I'd also like to share a verse
real quick.
It's Acts 2:46. Okay, 46.
And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart.
Amen. This has just been our experience. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, all the students did such a good job at giving this message, actually. We really didn't do too much. I think the testimonies speak for themselves. I do want to I like to draw a little something, so excuse my poor illustration. But to kind of see in perspective, there are students that come in and out of college every 4 years on average. Let's go like this. And we like to be those that want to gain increase and build up the church. Amen. And the church is in the homes even, right? Well, there's a lot of, you know, places where you can draw water from, right? Maybe you go to Trader Joe's, right? You talk to the register, cash register person, and preach the gospel. But the biggest one are actually, they're in the campus. And so what happens is, though, we need to go to the campus, and this is like a water spout, so, okay. That's us. That's the students. That's the full-timers. That's the ones that are, you know, we're connected and related to. And where do we put that water? Where are we putting that? If we don't have any container for it, it goes right back into it. After 4 years, yeah, they're in the campus. They're enjoying the home meetings and this and that. But if they're not ever in the homes, they go back. They graduate. They just go back to work. There was no container to contain that. But let's say you have a little container here, right? It's a home, right? And just like my drawing, maybe the home isn't that perfect looking, okay? But it's a container to contain the ones that we're related to, the classmates, the relatives even. The homes are just so crucial. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together. The student nucleus should take the way of the body and stay in a close coordination with all the saints for the gospel. The student nucleus, you guys are on the campus. We need to take the way of the body, right? And as we saw in that verse, greet the church which is in their house. Stay in close coordination with the saints, right? You have the love, the divine life. And then you're going to connect them. You connect them. You just get them right in. And that acts as a stepping stone into the church life. Emphasis here is church life. We may think, or I've talked to students before, and I, how's the church life? Well, this meeting was good. That meeting was good. That meeting was good. But what about the church life? It's a little different. Do you catch what I'm trying to say here? The church life. It's a life and a living. And that you can only taste, you can only touch in the homes. So I hope it's very clear, it's very fresh to us all. Hopefully we can have another mama or another papa, right, close by to the campus. And we can bring others into this. How about let's sing hymn 1233 one more time.